Can you two girls come up here? Just down right here. Okay, you can turn around and look at the crowd. How do you like these door keepers? When they write a resume, we'll for Walmart, we'll give them a double or triple A, right? Thank you, girls. You've been a real blessing to us. What a great way to start the service. Good evening. May the Lord or the Holy Spirit be with you. They had various ways. Thank you. You can be seated. We are blessed. You know, and suffer the little children to come unto me, for as of such is the kingdom of heaven. And we never want to underestimate these. There's a ministry. So much ministering goes around, and there's been the body. This is the last meeting for Pine Low Camp 2017, and it's gone extremely fast. It was our Lois and our first time, and we've been so thankful to be here. We've been blessed, and I've appreciated the way the Spirit of God has ministered to us and is ministering to us. It's never over until it's over. And you know, I never liked that slogan, this Holy Spirit was moving so wonderful. I like it better, the Holy Spirit is, you know. We never want that to diminish. We never want that to be history. We want it to be constant in our life. Amen? This evening, I think, if the Lord would have us go that direction, it'd be very nice if we had a testimony, a praise report. There's going to be more prayer. There's some needs, but by prayer and praise and thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known. Amen. Through praise and thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. We'll pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to meet with the body, to have the body contribute that which every joint supplies, every member of the body, every stone in your house is so invaluable and so important. And Father, we acknowledge you. I don't think anybody in this room can doubt that the Holy Spirit is leading the way. We thank you, Lord, that you know the way. In fact, you are the way. And we acknowledge you in all of our ways. We pray that you would direct our path. And we give you thanks, dear Lord. We pray that we will be behind the scenes tonight, and that you would minister and satisfy the souls of your people and the hearts. Just fill us with the fullness of God Almighty through Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe we could sing a few songs and then have people come forward. So kind of be prepared. Maybe some of you want to talk about your baptismal experience.
Three people are sick today and are traveling home as we speak.
Yeah.
I think that we should pray for them straight away.
Right away. He's saying that there's many that are traveling right now and are sick. And, pardon me? Here. Yeah. We should pray for them right now. Sure. Would you come and pray?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we come to you today for many people that have been sick. I believe it's a food illness today. Almost a dozen people are probably on their way home as we speak, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we ask that you keep them safe. Keep the vehicle safe. Keep the people driving the vehicle safe. Keep the people that are sick. Get them home. Get them rested.
Yes.
We just ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We've been praying for David Gabrook. Last night, got a email from Sonia. She says, "We thank you so much for being faithful in prayer. We are humbled when we hear of the many who are praying on our behalf. I read your email to David as well as Psalms 121. We were both blessed and encouraged by the word. Yesterday I was listening to a song based on Psalms 121 that encouraged my heart. David is feeling a little better today, so we hope and pray he is on the mend. Blessings to you in the camp." And that was yesterday at 1:31 p.m. Nat just told me that he was feeling so good. He was up and about, and he was, how did you say it exactly? He did too much, he had to go to bed early. That's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. Shall we thank the Lord? We'll sing that song, "I Am Blessed, I Am Blessed." And while we're singing it, is if the Lord is compelling you to come up and give a testimony, that would be very good. We are going to pray about some other needs, but it is good to hear what the Lord has done and is doing. Praise God. You know, the scriptures talks about the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, we've had prophecy, we've had singing in the spirit, we've had intercession. There's been a lot of good ministry. And testimony, your testimony, is the spirit of prophecy. And When I think of that scripture, I love to tie it together with Ezekiel chapter 37, where God said to Ezekiel, "Can these dry bones live?" You know, I just love the way the Lord works. You know, He wants to include us. He's literally asking a man that He's created on earth, and He says, can these dry bones live? What's the answer? He says, you know. And then He says, okay, you prophesy. So there's your responsibility. And when He was obedient to prophecy, the bones started coming together. And I always love that story. If you're going to hear me more often, you'll probably hear this story again sometime. Because, you know, these bones are helter-skelter, right? And they're laying around all over the place, and they're very dry. And then when He prophesies the first time, then there's movement among the bones. And this bone comes to this bone. Oh, you know, that's nice, isn't it? How many people like skeletons? There's guys that are studying for some kind of doctor. My chiropractor has got one, you know, shows me what's wrong with my back. But, you know, a skeleton is reasonably useless. Because all you've got is structure. But then He said, prophesy, and then the sinew started to connect. And so there's a working, there's an ability for one bone to work together with the other bone. You are those dry bones. We are those dry bones. He says that in the scripture. He says these dry bones, they're Israel. And we are spiritual Israel. Amen? And then flesh came upon it. And you know what I like about having flesh on it? Is because the bones are hidden. You know, God is not interested in individualism. He's not so interested in showing you this bone and this bone and my other bone. He covered it with skin so that we have one body, so that you don't see individualism. He wants to get rid of, He wants us to work as a body. But the next thing He does is He breathes into it the breath of life. This is what He was using man to do a few things, and then God did His thing. And that's what we love to see. We love, it's wonderful to have structure. We've come together, individuals, and we want God to put flesh on Him. We want God to take the individualism away. But we want God this tonight is to breathe into us the breath of life. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing, I am blessed. I am blessed. And sing it like you mean it.
I am blessed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
His gates with thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad.
Byron said that before we leave this camp, he wanted to learn this song. You may be seated for a minute. I'm going to ask my wife Lois to come. And maybe Have you ever tried to learn a song that you're writing and singing and all that? I'm gonna tell you what the words are, and then you can write them down if you've got a pen and paper. And I think I've got the words pretty close. We are here to praise you, is the first line. We are here to praise you. It's not in the book. Lift our voice and sing. Does anybody know that song? We are here to give you the best that we can bring. And it is your love rising from our hearts. Hearts and minds and will that say, I love you, Lord. Is that too fast?
Yeah.
Way too fast. Way too fast. Where are you? We are here to praise you. Tell me when you're done. Lift our voice and sing. Those that know it should come up here and help us.
Amen.
We are here to give you the best that we can bring. And it is your love rising from our hearts. Hearts and minds and wills that say, I love you, Lord. Whoa. You surprised me. Page 61? Okay, so I mean, now you know how to write. Okay. In the front or in the back?
In the back.
Okay, so there's a test.
And it is our love
we are here to praise you. Lift our hearts and sing. We are here to give you the best that we can bring. And it is our love rising from our hearts. Everything within us cries, Abba Father, help us now to give you pleasure and delight. Say, I love you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. I believe the young people have a song.
Sorry, this isn't a young people song. I just asked a few young people to sing with me, but I just said that's who I was, who was standing ready. It's young, some of the young people. Okay. This is called Indescribable, and it was inspired, I guess the song was inspired to be sung tonight because of one of the messages about the creation of God and how amazing it is. So it's called Indescribable.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea,
creations revealing your majesty.
You praise the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing.
Heavenly storehouses laden with snow.
Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light?
Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night.
None can fathom. unfathomable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable.
I'd like to have the following people come and join me on the stage. Is Shannon Lipson here? Okay. Don Maxwell. Sharon Rose Zilke. David Hansen. Is he here? Or, yeah, okay. Lane Price? No? Yes? Okay. Laura Betcher? Oh, this is Ron Coyle. Okay. I don't think Ron is in our meeting here tonight. So, what I have here, what we have here is a representation, and probably Lane's coming, of those who died and were resurrected this afternoon. And we give God all the thanks for that. And the old life is behind them, and these are certification that that took place. Laura and David, and what we would like to do is if any one of these folks would like to say a few words about perhaps a brief testimony that they may have of their experience and what the Lord has done for them. That includes you, too, if you would like. So, sure. I've got a hook here, so okay. I might.
I just want to thank you all for having me this week. I had a wonderful time watching the Spirit move among you folks here as a family and as a body of Christ. And I'm just feel truly blessed to be here with you guys. And I plan on being here next year with Deborah, and I thank you, Deborah. I thank the Lord for Deborah, putting Deborah in my life. And I came from a pretty rough background. I just did 5 years in prison, and the Lord got a hold of me in prison, and He used me the whole time I was in prison. When I left the prison, I went to a halfway house called the River of Life House in Dallas, Oregon, where it was a 6-month program, and I decided I was going to go ahead and become the house manager, and I stayed for 2 years. And after that 2 years, the Lord led me to go back to my wife that I've been with for 33 years. And I went back to my wife, and when I got back with my wife, she got this infection in her spine, and she was in the hospital, and that's how I met Deborah. And we were praying for my wife, you know, to live, and the Lord took her home. And I'm just really blessed to be here with you folks. I love you guys all, as the Lord loves us all. Thank you, guys.
Just in the last little while, like I've always served the Lord, I grew up in a Christian family. My experience of baptism was, I was around 10 or 11, and where we were, they said that they'd rented the swimming pool, and I was told that I was going to be baptized, and I don't think it really, I didn't quite comprehend what it was all about, but all these years, I was baptized, and all these years I claimed that I was baptized, but the Lord has been really working in my heart in the last little while, just drawing me more and more, and just telling me that I needed to have a deeper walk, and I've had a real burden on my heart for the young people in the church that have left. And I've been getting up early every morning, and I've been spending time in prayer and speaking in tongues. And I've just, I think when you do things like that, the Lord shows you things in your own life that need to change. And I've seen a critical spirit. I've seen being judgmental, and I wanted to give that away to the Lord. And so the opportunity here today, I know I should have come sooner and said that I would like to be baptized. I always thought, well, I can just claim that. I can just claim what I'd already had, the experience. But I felt like I needed to make that decision that this is what I was doing, and I was going to die to self, and I was going to live even more and more for the Lord. And I know that He will bless me for it, and I thank Him that I had the opportunity. And there's just a feeling in my heart that the Lord is really working in His people, and there's a new work that He is doing, and He is drawing us, and He wants us to walk closer and closer to Him. And the world is not getting to be a easier place for Christians to be in. And so I just want to be in that place that the Lord needs me to be in, and I want to be doing His will. So thank you.
I gave the first half of my testimony last night, or the night before, or whatever it was. So you all know that I strayed and returned, praise the Lord. Young people, I want you to listen to something. You don't need to know what the world has. You might be interested or curious. But you don't need to know. If you really want to know, you can call me. The reason I chose to be baptized again is because although I have rededicated my life, changed my ways, I am haunted by the ghosts of my past. We are blessed to have a God that is so gracious. And He will forgive you for whatever you've done. And He will put your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. But unfortunately, Satan will not. There's a song that we grew up singing, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful. I went into the water to wash away the sins of my past. And I'm leaving them on my deathbed. And I will not be plagued by them again. And I thank God and I thank my church, this church. I better thank my wife too, for the opportunity to lay my sins at his feet and walk away. But I'm going to say this again, young people. And actually, you don't have to be young. You do not need to know what the world has. You don't need to.
Praise the Lord. I think that there's an opportunity here for any of us who may have a small testimony to share with the church. You know, we're leading up to a time of prayer. So it's good to have our hearts encouraged by the working hand of the Lord. And so if you've had something that has been on your heart to share with the church, with the group here, I think you should feel comfortable about making your way up and doing so. And we'll spend a few minutes doing that before we have prayer. I think this has been a wonderful camp where the Lord has really asked us to minister to one another. Isaac, come on up.
Hello, my name is Isaac Cornell, and I'm a Christian, and I have been saved. I've died about 7 or 8 years ago, and I suffered congestive heart failure and anoxic brain damage, and I was in a coma for 6 weeks, and they told my mother to make funeral arrangements for me because I'd be a vegetable for the rest of my life. I better be broccoli, right? Anyways, so I was living in Haines, Alaska, and I'm a highly functional alcoholic, and I drank a lot, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and we fought a lot and drank a lot, and that's pretty much all we did. We worked and fought and drank. And I woke up one night and said I don't feel well and laid back down on the bed and stopped breathing. My heart got so enlarged, not in a good way, it stopped, so I had heart failure. And it happened in Haines, Alaska, I think it was almost 10 years ago. And I was life-flighted from Haines to Juneau, and then in Juneau, they didn't really know what to do with me or what my condition was. So then they life-flighted me from Haines to, from Juneau to the University of Washington in Seattle and put me on life support and induced me into a coma. And I was in a coma for 6 weeks, and they put a peg tube in to feed me and breathing apparatus. And I've got the picture, and every time I see it, I just start bawling my eyes out because I realize how far I've come. And it just makes me so grateful that I'm here. And thank you. And I've always been a hard worker. I mean, I've never been a lazy person. I've had 2 jobs before I died. And thank God, now I have 2 more. I got 2 jobs. Yeah, so I'm back in the working field again. And I'm not getting paid for it, but I've got it's a social payment. I guess I'm volunteering at a place called the Habitat for Humanity. It's, they just built it, like, literally, like 2 blocks from my house. pretty much watched them build the whole thing, and so I got a job there like immediately. And then there's also another group I'm going to 4 days a week, and it's called Bridges to Independence. And for all people that go there, they all have the same condition as I do. They have traumatic brain injuries, and we go downtown to the OHSU, and there's a kitchen downtown, and we bake organic cupcakes, and we take them to the farmers market at OHSU, and we sell them to the staff and the people that are working at the hospital. And the guy that introduced me, or I got introduced to at there, his name is Rick, and he's a really nice guy. And he said, "Hey, would you be interested in doing something like this?" And I was like, "Yeah," because I'm a chef and I feel at home in a kitchen. So I go down to a commercial kitchen and bake, and yeah. So basically, I'm back. This is the moral of the story. I'm back in the kitchen doing what I loved, and yeah. So thank God. Oh, my God. They told my mother to make fuel arrangements for me because I wouldn't be event anything. Oh, I said that already, didn't I? Short-term memory loss. Example. Thank you.
I'd just like to share something. Hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. Probably about, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, I developed a problem. I won't bore you with the details, but it caused me a lot of pain. And my first inclination is to try to fix it myself and to do everything that I can do. And so I did that for maybe, I don't know, several months, and that didn't work. And then my next definite plan of attack is to ask the elder, I guess Dave was there then, so the elders, to pray for me. And I try to, when I remember it, most of the time, when I'm prayed for, I write it in my Bible, and I write when I was prayed for on one side, and then I write when the answer is on the right side. And I've seen a lot of prayers over the years answered. And matter of fact, none of them that I have written in there haven't been answered. So that's a testimony. When you have a need, get the elders to pray for you. Why? Because it says so in James chapter 5. And now you can stand on the word. And when you still have that problem, you can stand on the word. And when you have the problem and it doesn't go away, which it didn't. Well, actually, I was prayed for and it went away for about 2 weeks. I was feeling pretty good. And then it came back. And so for about the last year, I've kind of had the problem sometimes and I didn't have it. And but through the whole thing, when I was feeling the pain, I tried to thank God for it. Now, what does it say in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And James chapter 1 says, consider it all joy. That's just a lot of joy pain is, isn't it? Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, sometimes you ask God for wisdom and maybe he will give you wisdom how to take care of the problem. Well, I asked for that. So the problem would come and go, but it didn't go away. And every day that it bothered me, I would sing the song, "Rise up and shout the victory, it's yours and mine today." Or, "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving." I think, Joey, you started that this morning, or tonight. I'd sing a praise song because that's what God wants us to do. I have a wonderful family, and quite a few of them are here today. And pretty much all of them are walking with God except one, and we're praying for him. We'll let the Holy Spirit work on him. But I have a brother, Joe, and I was talking to my brother, Joe. And he said, "Mike, nothing happens to you unless it passes through God's filter." Now, what's that mean? When the enemy harassed Job, he had to get permission. He had to get permission. And nothing happens to us unless the enemy gets permission. And so I knew this was a test. It was a trial. So I knew that I just needed to trust him. You just need to trust him, Thomas. You just need to hang on to it. All these prayers that have been prayed for you. And you might have the symptoms. And you might go to the Mayo Clinic. And you might still have the symptoms. Doesn't matter, Thomas. You just got to hang on to the prayer that these people prayed for you. You just got to hang on to it. And hang on to the promises. Because the one who said the promises is faithful. And like I said earlier, the last time I was up here, God will work out 999 plus one out of 1,000 of the things for good. For we know, right? For we know. And so sometimes the enemy will give you symptoms. It's like an illusion. Satan is an illusionist. He has the power to get in your mind and shoot thoughts at you. I was running along a canyon rim one time, and it was so clear to me that just like the Holy Spirit has access to your mind, so does the enemy. But you don't have to believe him. And the condemnation or the doubts or the fears that he shoots in there, those arrows, he wants us to put on the armor as it's been taught this week. And absorb those arrows. And you still might have the symptoms. But he still wants you to hang on to the victory, Joey. That hip's getting better. Now, if you have a situation where it's, "Oh, geez, it's not getting better now," you hang on to the healing. I went up and got prayed for at Battleford. And son of a gun, it went away. And about 3 days later, it came back. But it's all part of a process. We serve a faithful God. His word says, "Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass." That's right following the scriptures that I quoted at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Peter, read the whole book if you're suffering from something. Talks a lot about suffering. And toward the end of, I think it's chapter 4, it says, now it's time, basically, I'll just paraphrase it because I'm not thinking how it goes. But it's time to just commit your life into the hands of a faithful Creator. We serve a faithful Creator, Paul. He's an amazing Creator. And he's worthy of our trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So I just want you to hang on to what you're claiming. And don't give heed to the symptoms. And sometimes, quite often, you just need to just kind of punch the enemy right in the nose. It says in Second Corinthians 10, or chapter 10, 5, it's talking about bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The enemy will come in and give you all kinds of arguments. Or it says, I think this is the New King James, or the New International Version. It says, we need to demolish arguments and foolish, demolish arguments and foolish, well, in one version it says lofty ideas. But basically when the enemy comes in and tries to argue with you and tell you stuff, we just need to demolish it. Like, think about what demolish means. It just means to just smash it down. Don't take his baloney. He's in the business of harassing us, but we're not a punching bag. We're not a punching bag. He's given us weapons to fight back. So combat him and just... I guess you probably got the message. I probably can stop talking.
Well, I've been up before, but I thought there's a few more things I should say. What Laura said, it spoke to me because I have often felt that I would like to walk even more perfectly. I spend time in prayer, but then I see my faults and my flaws sometimes. Sometimes I too have been judgmental of others. There are some things others seem to be able to do that I feel I can't do and I don't want to do them. Such as playing cards as one example. The real cards, the ones that people gamble with. Well, the friends that play cards and don't gamble, I know it's just another game to them. But sometimes I realize I've been kind of judgmental because I don't feel that I ever want to do that. I was raised not to do that. And that's only one thing. Then there's other things that have troubled me. For instance, I often drive too fast, and I've had a run-in. I've had a run-in. Oh, it's quite a while now. And so, lately, my younger daughter, she said to me, "Yeah," she said, "Paul's been examining your car, and you had an accident. Can you imagine my son-in-law doing that?" Well, anyway, all foolishness aside, what I did, I just settled with the person it was a four-way stop, and I guess I just kind of maybe slowed down a bit and was on my way because I thought there's no other cars. But there was one coming that I somehow didn't see. And so I settled with them, paid for their damage, and so I didn't report it to ICBC. I've paid my insurance again recently, car insurance, and I have a letter that actually I pay less because I had a good record. And I thought somehow that's kind of a farce, you know. But anyway, I have slowed down, and I've determined that I am going to do better. And I've rededicated my life here. I've had prayer already, but I still would like prayer so that the flaws that I see, they'll be no longer in my life. I see a lot of people because I don't just sit at home. I'm a person that's out and about, and I do some volunteer work too. But I want to do more for Jesus, and I want to be a better testimony. And these flaws in my life, I don't want to see them any longer. So I've even on the grounds here, I've spent time in prayer, and I gave these things up over to the Lord. And so I'd like prayer that they'll be reinforced, the decisions I've made, so that I will carry on with walking a closer walk with God, and being a real testimony in my, I was going to say old age, but I don't like that. In a way, I don't like that word. I've told Mamie, don't say you're old, and so I guess I better. And there was someone else. I talked to one of them, and I told them the same thing. I don't want to get old, to that effect. Well, she said, good luck. But I think it's very true that you can sit at home and feel sorry for yourself and think I'm too old to do things, or else you can keep on and ask Jesus to help you each day and still be useful. Even in our older years, I do believe we can be useful for Jesus. And sometimes I talk to strangers, and it's amazing. They'll let you talk to them, and sometimes you can help somebody. And, of course, I know we have to be led of the Spirit, and in order to be really effective for Jesus. And that's so it'll hit home, and the Lord's given me opportunities that way, and I'm thankful for that. And I was going to say something about Mitchell, too. The Lord, he's my oldest grandson, and Brody's my youngest grandson. And I appreciate Brody so much, but I appreciated Mitchell, my oldest grandson, so much. And in April, I had a nice time in Victoria with him. He drove me around, and I've done quite a bit of preaching to him. And I thought, I must not do that, because it has to be Jesus that'll cause him to return to where he was, because I know he had a wonderful experience with the Lord. And his first year of university, he joined Youth with a Mission, was diligent about it, but he certainly has got off track. But I do believe that he will be back, because, and he'll be coming to camps again. I'd like to see him. He's very musical. I seen him once with his guitar at North Battleford on the platform, and I was so happy, because he loves guitar playing and he's good at it. But I want to see him again coming to the camps, and I believe that I will. He is a nice boy. I appreciate him, but I'm praying for him, and the Lord showed me I must commit him to the Lord, and instead of preaching to him, let the Holy Spirit really speak to his heart. And when the Lord does lead me to say something, then I do want to say it. I know that he loves me, because on the phone I talk to him fairly often, and he tells me he loves me. So I'm thankful for that. And maybe I've taken too much time already, but I love the Lord, and I do want desire a closer walk. And these things that I have been, that I felt have been wrong in my life, I want them to just fall off, so that I can walk more perfectly before him in the years that he still, that the Lord will still give me. And I thank him for the years he has given me, and the many years. And most of you have known my dear husband. I miss him very, very much. But being busy helps. And also, I know that I can carry on. I have the big Bible that he has marked so well, the important verses, and then some of them he would mark them, highlight the verse again that meant so much to him. And I appreciate that. So praise the Lord.
This week has been humbling and challenging, but I've already opened up to a fair number of people about some of the struggles I've had, and everyone has struggles, and I know that. I've been reading a book called The Broken Way to Abundant Life, and it talked about brokenness in a way that made me feel better. Not that we want to, I mean, I guess it just meant that we're always being broken, because we're breaking, but it's the old man, right? Like, we're breaking ourself. We're ridding ourselves of the old nature, and that process is hard. And I don't know if I'm just especially stubborn, but I'm still in the midst of it, in the midst of a midlife crisis. And I laugh because I do call it that, but it really is. I mean, that's the point I'm at. And just trying to really find my identity in Christ, because I know that's what it's all about. It's really who we are in Christ, and just not relying on other things and looking to the world or trying to look for approval or all those things. Anyways, it's hard. When we talk about taking every thought captive, I mean, that scripture I have marked, and I mean, I've really worked on that, but I've also failed a lot at it. And I think I did want to share that, I guess I might as well admit it because everybody probably knows anyways, but for my life, as long as I can remember, I struggled with OCD, and that's hard because it does make it harder to take thoughts captive when they're so constant. And but it does, it's not impossible, and doesn't mean I won't be delivered, but it's just it has given me a real like measure of compassion for people who struggle. If you really know what it's like, it's pretty intense. And I think OCD, like I just remember as a child, like doing things repetitively, thinking I got to do it right, or praying, not being able to go to sleep because I hadn't prayed for all the countries. And sounds funny, but it was hard because I was just little and I didn't understand why I couldn't feel safe unless I did those things. And as a teenager, it turned into kind of a form of OCD called BDD, body dysmorphic disorder. And if you know anything about it, it's not easy, but it's what I know is that God's using my brokenness for good. I know that when I'm free, which it's a daily thing, like I wake up and there's moments during the day when I can just talk with such liberty to people, because it's like I do have pride left. That's the part that's still hanging on. But there's a lot of times when I'm so freed of pride and just let it all go and can just minister. And then there's other times when I just feel like it's like shackles on my feet pulling me down. So I just want to ask for continued prayer. You might think I like sharing everything. Well, I think I share it because I figure everyone's already figured it out anyway. So you can see me, like I'm not, you can see that I might as well just let you know what it's about instead of pretending that there's nothing there. And I don't know if God's going to fully take the racing thoughts away. I know he's going to help me get better and better at taking them captive. I know that he's going to help me put on the armor. And I know that his grace is sufficient. Paul talked about the thorn in the flesh. And maybe this is my thorn in the flesh. I don't know. I've seen my dad struggle all his life with manic depression. And there's no one who does praise more than him. So I don't know why God hasn't healed him of it. But I do know that his grace is sufficient. And I do know you can still thrive. And yeah, just pray for me because, maybe I have a little bit of a song. It's about the brokenness. But also the last thing I wanted to say about the brokenness is that, it's like, you're at the end of yourself in your brokenness, but then the only thing you can really do is to, like, reach out and try to help someone else. And then that touches their parts that need to be healed. And then they're, I don't know, I got to read the book, but maybe I'll just sing a little bit of the song. Can't quite remember the name of it, but it's probably called Broken. goes... Broken, I come to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. Fallen on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all
this heart is living for.
It might be another verse.
And so I wait for you.
Maybe you can sing with me.
And so I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Thanks.
I had this thought. I should be careful. I have people that I work for here, but sometimes I think that the first verse to the song "I Am Blessed" is "I am stressed," and sometimes I sing that. I am stressed. I am stressed. Every day that I live, I am stressed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am stressed. I am stressed. But you know, you can sing that, and you can sing it as long as you want, as long as you also sing it till you can laugh at yourself, and then sing, "I am blessed," because that's the truth.
I'm going to sing a song. Just kidding. I just wanted to thank everybody for praying for me. It's a very humbling experience to have so many people pray for you. And I hate to say it, but I don't particularly like it. To be the subject of prayers. I don't know why, but I was kind of mad at Greg when he first mentioned me at the camp. And then Brother Wayne had everybody pray for me. So then I was mad at everybody, so I thought I should just let that go and thank the Lord for your prayers. It really is a very overwhelming thing to feel the love and commitment of so many people. Unless you've experienced it, I'd never had anything like that before, so it's pretty amazing to you just know that God loves you, and you feel this tremendous love through others. And it's very real. It's not fuzzy. It's very real. But I do have a little testimony, very quick. I don't know, about a month ago, I was at the doctor, and fortunately, I don't have to go to the doctor very often. He's not the kind of doctor that wants to see you all the time. He likes to kind of let you go, sort of, and live. And that's what he says. So, but I was there, and he said, "You know, you're really doing extraordinarily well." He said that you've had this now for, he said 7 years, but Barb's says it's more like six and something, six and a half maybe. And he said, normally 5 years is sort of the life expectancy that we give. And he said, "You're kind of about the same as when I first saw you." So that's a real testimony, I think, for in answer to all those prayers. So if, Mike, if you happen to have me in your little book, you can cross that off and pray for someone else. But I do thank the Lord, and thank you for your prayers.
I always hesitate when these, you know, testimony services start because, I mean, I've got a whopper of a testimony that probably 80 to 90% of you know to some extent. But I felt to come up, and I'll get to that. In January, I will turn 50. Hold your shock. I will turn 50 years old, and I will be very grateful to turn 50 years old. In September, on September 25th, I will turn 18. Now, I know there's some here that are probably going, I don't quite get that. But that's where my testimony comes in, and we don't have the time for me to tell you my entire testimony and the way that God's hand was so obviously in every part of it. Just the very nutshell for those of you that don't know, in 1999, I was 31 years old, and I got very sick, very suddenly, and it was a virus like the flu, and it destroyed my heart within 2 months, and I was on life support. And I had been on life support. They put me on life support on a Monday, and my only hope was for a new heart. And I haven't made it through a day of this camp without crying, so I'm going to try to maintain here. The only hope is for me to get a heart, and this body of Christ, they rallied behind me and my family. I was put on life support on the Monday. I had no idea of the prayers that were going up for me. No idea until well after, and I heard story after story after story of people who were praying and people in foreign countries that didn't know me, nuns in an abbey. I was on life support for 133 hours, and they can keep you pretty much, what's the word I'm looking for? They can keep you stable for 48 hours on life support, and after that, they can't guarantee anything. Your kidneys can start shutting down, which mine did. They started shutting down, but they came back. Why did they come back? Oh, you might say medical intervention. Sure, that played a part of it, but I honestly believe I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for the prayers. And after 133 hours, the pager went off at 2 a.m. in the morning, letting my family know that there was a heart for me. And my family was staying with Daryl and Norma Smith and in Edmonton. They opened their home to my family, and they were all sleeping, and they all gathered together in the foyer of their house just before my family was going to head to the hospital. And I have to tell you a little funny story, and Norma's going to kill me for this. Maybe Daryl will kill me more, but with all the commotion, Norma jumped out of bed, and she grabbed a robe and ran out to see what was happening, and Daryl got up to grab a robe, and, well, Norma had grabbed his, so he was wearing her satin floral robe as he went downstairs, and the family gathered together, and they sang, "He is able," and he is able, and this week has been so amazing. I don't think I've been in services like we have had this week with so much body ministry. And it's just been amazing. And another little side testimony. Last night I sang in the Spirit for the very first time. I'm 49 years old, and it took me that long, and I fought with God every second of the way until I opened my mouth. I just want to encourage everyone. We've had a lot of prayer for some that are in really desperate need. And our prayers can make a difference. So when we leave here, don't forget them. And Victor, I'm sorry, but we're going to keep praying for you, whether you like it or not. But I understand what you mean. It's very humbling to be on that end of it when you are the one receiving the prayers. And to this day, when people come up to me and say, wow, you're such a miracle, I don't know how to answer that. I was just the vehicle that God used. This was all his design. My circumstances were all in his plans. And like I said, if I could tell you the whole testimony, you would see how his hand was in everything along the way. So I just want to encourage everyone, keep praying for those that need it. Keep praying for David and Victor and Nancy and Thomas and everyone that we have heard of this week and everyone that we will hear about again. Just keep praying for them.
We're just going to switch anatomy from the heart to the liver. It says faith comes from hearing, and a lot of you also know my story. I've shared it before, but when we pray, it's good to hear how God answers prayer. And so I'm just going to share it quickly with you. So when I was born, I quickly became yellow and jaundiced and very sick. And the doctors couldn't find my liver, and it wasn't functioning. And so for 6 weeks, they ran tests, and they tried to figure out what was going on, if there was anything they can do. And they finally told my parents that more or less I was going to die. And they said there's less than 2% chance of being able to live. And honestly, kind of like Isaac's mom, they said, you know, you need to look at funeral arrangements because your little baby's not going to make it. So if anybody's lost a child or know somebody who's lost a child, that's a hard pill to swallow. I appreciated what my Uncle Mike said. He said he went before the elders because that's what the Bible says, and went to the elders for prayer. So that's what my parents did. They brought me to church, and the elders anointed me and prayed over me. My parents had last seen the doctor on a Friday, and that's when they had kind of issued the death sentence. Those doctors, watch out for them. So they went to church on Sunday, and the elders prayed over me, and they had a follow-up appointment on Monday. And when they examined me on Monday, they found a fully normal-sized liver, and within a few short days, all my color had returned to normal. There's no more jaundice, and so the Lord literally brought me from deathbed. And I've been able to share that testimony with hundreds of physicians. In one venue, when I was in med school, I received a scholarship, and they gave me a chance to speak to in front of hundreds of doctors at the conference there. And so I gave my testimony and gave God the glory for his healing. Whether doctors are willing to admit it or not, they see it, you know, and they can't explain it, but they do see it. and so I'm in the fortunate position now to be able to work with patients every day, and to be able to pray for them, whether they know it or not. And many of them need a miracle, and it's been a blessing. So just wanted to share that with you. And the second piece, I just wanted to reiterate something else that Uncle Mike had talked about there, and talking about the spiritual battle, because that is so real. And the enemy wants to bring us down in any way that he can. He wants to use thoughts and accusations and condemning to really make us so that we cannot minister, that we're not fruitful for the Lord. And he will continue to do that. But the key is realizing that we are not that punching bag, that we don't have to, because we have won the victory through nothing we've done, but through the work of Christ on Calvary. And we can claim that, and we have access to that, and he's given us to that. And by taking up the armor of God and saying, no, Satan, I'm not yours, and I'm not going to believe those lies, and calling on the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, we're able to have victory in that. And Satan is so subtle in so many different ways that he will come in and bring those in. But I just wanted to encourage you, and at the same time encourage myself to continue to do that, and remind the enemy of his place, and remind him of the place that we have in Christ and who we are in Christ.
So I, too, am a miracle. Some of you may know that when I was first born, I could breathe in, but I couldn't breathe out. So my chest went like a balloon, and they had to pump the air out the side of my chest. Kids see it, and I tease them. I say I got shot because there's a hole in one side and out the other, but they don't often buy that. But I was of the 50-50 chance of living camp, and I'm thankful for my parents, the elders, and particularly I think Brother Oldridge at the time had prayed for me. So I'm thankful to be here, obviously. But that's not necessarily what I wanted to come up to say, but there's two thoughts that I want to leave with you. The first is that we have a vision for salvation, that we have a vision that Christ died for us. And we have a vision for sonship. And we have a vision for the kingdom. If not, we'll perish. And we will have the vision of the world, as Dave saw firsthand. So that's how we perish, is we perish when we are living in the world. The second thought I want to leave with you is, we've talked a lot about requests and needs and weaknesses, but I kind of wanted to just encourage you about the other side of the coin, and that's of strength. And that verse in Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And I just want to encourage you that you are strong through Christ. And that's our mission on this earth, is to convey our strength of the Lord to those around us. There's a lot of causes around. I wish my Uncle Vic or Uncle Phil and Aunt Sherry were here, because they see all these causes, these volunteers, but our cause is for Christ. Our cause is for the cross. The song that was on my heart this week was, "The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song."
We've had a wonderful time together as a family this week, and a lot of openness and a lot of confessions, and we could go away from here and just tell people, you know, they told everybody at camp, and it's probably going to be online soon, so it won't be any secret. Or we could judge that person. We could gossip about it. But the scripture says, confess your faults one to another. And that's what many of us have done. And pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want you to know, even Sister Emma, with your confessions, that I will go home and I will pray for you. And I look for the day that the next time I talk to you, those hauntings won't be there, David. Amen. And the things that plague you won't be there. You won't go in and out and feel. And I believe after this experience that I won't be alone in this. That many of you will go home and you will pray for these ones that have admitted their faults, admitted the things that they struggle with. And I think that's one way that we acknowledge the other members in the body, that we will have health and we will have healing. Anyway, I just wanted to remind you of that scripture.
Sorry, I just wanted to just take a moment from what Heidi said and just add a little bit to it, is I think this week we've had a real opportunity to see the body functioning, how it's supposed to be functioning. And I think that's what I would like to see when I go home, is that I'm thinking about my ministry and I'm looking at those around me that maybe need something, need the love of Christ. And that when someone comes to your mind, you pray for them. Or you send them a text, how are you doing? I'm praying for you. And I think that's what I've really come away from this with, is just this feeling like this is how it could be all the time.
So we have a song to sing, because that's what us Zilkey kids do. this is a song that we used to sing when we were little. I believe we even sung it at a camp once.
No, we didn't.
Oh, just kidding. We totally didn't. Besides that, we recently found it again, in the sense that we used our CD player for the first time in a while. And this was in the CD player, and it's an a cappella group. And automatically, all four of us remembered the songs and all of them, and remembered just how much we loved them. So this is one of our favorites that we had, and it's been on our minds, so we're just going to go for that. It's called Stand on the Rock. Okay.
Stand on the rock, moving a mountain, faith even small as a seed. And there on the rock is love like a fountain, giving me all that I ever will need. Stand on the rock, moving a a mountain with faith even small as a seed. And there on the rock is love like a fountain, giving me all that I ever will need.
Pain, I have experienced pain. Too many hurts in my life were bringing terrible strife. I have experienced pain. But Jesus is my refuge, and I know he's paid his dues. So now I have a Savior who has walked within my shoes.
Stand on the rock, move in a mountain, with faith even small as a seed. And there on the rock is love like a fountain, giving me all that I ever will need.
All that I ever need. Love, have you experienced love? Too many people will hate, reaping a terrible fate. They won't experience love. But Jesus is my anchor. He's defying waters, love. I'm happy that he's teaching me and taking me above.
Stand on the rock, move in a mountain, faith even small as a seed. And there on the rock is love like a fountain, giving me all that I ever will need. Stand on the rock, move in a mountain, with faith even small as a seed. And there on the rock is love like a fountain, giving me all that I ever will need. Giving when I'm standing on the rock.
I know that there was some prayer requests that we still wanted to take before we wind up tonight, so I just can't recall what they are. Oh, right, right. Maybe, Dad, do you want to come up and we'll pray for these needs. Right, and Joel. Nat, do you want to come up as well?
Just before service, I called back to the Portland area to a lady that attends our services, and her name is Bonnie Lusk. Some of you may have met her, and she spent many years back east, but she's been out in Oregon now. I don't know how many years it is, but it's been quite a while. But anyway, she has developed a very serious problem in the second, third, and fourth vertebrae, to the point where it's even not safe for her to drive. She lives by herself. She does drive, and she's had two minor accidents. But the unfortunate thing about her experience is that the medical situation in our area, at least, has done nothing but just move her from one place to another with no satisfaction. And it's just about maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago that one of the doctors that she went to sent her to another one. And this happened to be a lady who is an orthopedic surgeon. And her statement to Bonnie was that all the time, let me back up a bit, all this time Bonnie had been going through neurological treatments and looking for a treatment that would help her. And they, like I say, they've just moved her around and just kind of some of them brushed her off. But this one lady, being an orthopedic surgeon, her comment to Bonnie was that we look at these things in a different way than the neurological teams look at it. And she was pretty confident that she could help Bonnie through surgery. So Bonnie went to see her, and they did a CAT scan, etc. And when the results came back, she said, "There's nothing I can do to help you." And so Bonnie, of course, was really let down. We have prayed for her multiple times in the local assembly. We've always been sure to anoint her with oil and bless it. But the Lord just seems to have continued to let her go through this trial and this tribulation. And somehow or another, she got a hold of another doctor. And she went to him this past Wednesday for a consultation at this point. But this was a major improvement for her. It really has uplifted her spirits. And the thing is, they were telling her that they couldn't get her in to even talk to her until September the 29th. And this doctor was made aware of her situation. He hadn't even talked to her yet. But somebody canceled an appointment. And there was such an urgency placed in her documents about her needing help that his staff called her and set up this appointment for this past Wednesday. He's reviewed everything with her. And this coming Wednesday, which again is another miracle, just a week apart, she's going to be going back. He will be giving her a shot in these vertebrae back here that will freeze her because she doesn't want to go under any anesthesia, and he understands that. And so then he will proceed to give her shots in each of these vertebrae, each of these joints and that, in order to try to hit the nerves and take away the pain. She can't turn her head. That's why, and I've noticed in the last couple of times that we've seen her that she's over this way a bit. And it's really been a sad issue. And so she has asked for prayer. I talked to her a week ago, and I told her that I would call her this week and bring it to the church. She interjected just as I was getting ready to leave to come to the service, and that she got a Facebook message. And many of you will know Art Lusk and his wife Gloria. And Gloria just sent out a Facebook message, and I believe she's in the hospital. She may not. They may have sent her home. My phone was drifting in and out, so I didn't get all of it exactly the way she was saying. But she has fluid on her lungs, and they have discovered a large growth on one kidney. And they're now in the position where they have got to get this fluid off of her lungs, get her body stabilized so that they can do a surgery to remove this one kidney. So both of these, Gloria Lusk and Bonnie Lusk, both need our prayers dramatically. Okay. So if you would uphold them, especially after we've gone home, think about Bonnie next Wednesday when she goes in for these shots, and just pray that the Lord will cause this final situation that has developed to be the one thing that will give her the ability to live without pain. I mean, she gets up in the morning and it's just excruciating. And she has told me in the just last week she goes to bed about six times a day because she just can't handle the pain. It's so severe. So let's uphold her in prayer, okay? And Father, we come to you tonight on behalf of these two requests. We think of Bonnie, dear Lord, and the pain that she has gone through all these years, dear Lord. It has not just been a short period of time, as you well know. And Father, in this day and age of medical care, there are still limitations that the doctors and the facilities can do. The final healing touch, Lord, comes from you. And we pray tonight, dear Father, that you will just reach out and touch her body. Lord, it's not impossible for her to go to a doctor on Wednesday of next week, yes, and not need these treatments, yes, because you have touched her. Hallelujah. And Father, I pray tonight in faith believing that miracles can be done
and that you can do them.
Yes.
And I just pray, dear Father, that you'll be with her in a very special way.
Amen.
Be with Gloria, dear Lord. This trial that has come up so suddenly, we just pray that as the medical teams work with her, that, Lord, there will be a strengthening in her body that will enable her to be able to go through this surgery, if that's what it means, that they may be able to remove this kidney and remove this growth without any spreading to any other parts of her body. Lord, let it be a complete healing process for her. And we ask this in your very special name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
I got a phone call from my son, Joel, who lives in Morden, Manitoba. He has, for several years, suffered from pain in his abdomen and other abdominal problems, and never, I guess, did anything about it till this last week. I went to see the doctor. They did some tests, and they booked him for an appointment in about 10 days, but he got a call saying that he needs to show up at the doctor's office as soon as his office opens this coming week. He's concerned about the urgency of the doctor asking him to come in, so he wants prayer. So let's just pray for Joel. Heavenly Father, we just pray for Joel. Lord, as been prayed for these other requests, Lord, you're well able to just cause this to amount to nothing, Lord, for the body, for you to touch Joel's body and just cause things to just be as they should be, completely healed and completely normal, Lord. And Lord, your word declares that there is a peace that passes understanding that will keep our hearts and minds. And Lord, we pray for that peace for Joel and Sherry and the family, Lord, that even right now that holy peace will come upon them. We think this week of the many requests that have a need of your peace. Lord, we pray for each one, our brothers and our sisters, our family here, Lord, in this place that we've drawn closer to this week. We pray that that heavenly peace will come upon each of us, Lord, and upon our lives, that we'll have a rest, Lord, and be able to enter into the rest that you've given to your people, Lord. Lord, we just pray that, as has been mentioned and prayed already, that this will be a new beginning for each of us. When we go home, we will continue to bear one another's burdens, continue to lift our hands to you and exercise our gifts for our brothers and our sisters, and for even those in the world, those we work with, Lord. Father, may your holy presence be with Joel and Sherry and the family. May it be with each of us, Lord. As we leave this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do any of you, brethren, feel to come and give any closing thoughts or...
Well, this should be mentioned. We want you to look under your chairs and take everything that belongs to you from this building. And also, as Daryl outlined earlier, make sure that we all clean up our rooms and leave them at least as clean as you found them. So we want to really leave a great impression with these people that have treated us so very well this week. So,
That's all I have to say. Yes, breakfast tomorrow is at 7 a.m. It's always been at 7:30 through the week, and it's 7 tomorrow morning. So
we can leave announcement before we close with that.
No, you stay.
Jeff just came and told me that Brother Andy Snoke has arrived in the Caribbean and was able to try the internet, the Facebook Live stuff out, and it looks like it's not going to work. So we'll have to. They'll likely be recording the meetings, at least audio-wise, which that will get back to us in the office, and we'll upload that to the web. So we'll likely make that notification available on the Tuesday newsletter. So, just so you know that.
Okay, we've been given a song here. Is this a song I know? Okay. It's on page 203 of the Red Book. I might need some. Lane, are you available to come and stand here with me and sing this?
Sing it out, Lane.
Let's stand together and sing this song. Our God reigns.
How lovely are the mountains, are the hills of men. Brings good news, good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. Lord,
Would you come and pray, please? Dismiss us.
Father, we just have been standing under your presence and your anointing, Father. For these things, we are not only blessed, but Father, we are lifted up and strengthened, Father, for the things that lie before us. We have been encouraged, dear Father, by the words of experience that have testified of your truth, of your deliverance, of your power. We have been encouraged also, Father, to stand firm upon the rock that you have placed our feet upon. Father, as we go from this place, let these things be alive in our heart, we pray. Let us go forth from here, Father, under your covering, by your direction.